Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
It's a very special Midweek Rub. It is the grand final edition and our last show for the year. Of course, exclusive to the listener app. As always, good afternoon to everyone. Joey Montagna here alongside me in the studio in Melbourne. Daisy Thomas and Duck, welcome, boys.
G'day, Joey.
Bit interesting morning in Melbourne, the earthquake.
Well,
we
plenty
got
happening.
Your take earlier. You were doing some push-ups.
Yeah, I thought I'd actually push the ground down. I thought I might have caused it, but it hasn't been the case, Duck.
What about you, Duck? Everyone's spoken all morning about where they were, how they felt the earthquake in Melbourne. How about you?
I was actually at Faulkner Park letting the dog have a run around. Did not feel a thing.
What?
Did not feel a thing.
Didn't even know about it.
Did not even know about it. Got a phone call from my partner, and she said, did you feel the earthquake? I said, no. Frank was running around, stole some other dog's ball. Had no idea.
Oh, well, there you go. And welcome to you, Damo, over in Perth. You've just come from an official function at Crown, we believe.
Yeah, g'day, Joey and boys. We were just about to start that official function at Crown. About 1,000 people in the room. And then just before it started, words swept around about the latest drama in Melbourne. And then I quickly tried to make a phone call to my wife, given that the initial talk was Melbourne's, yeah, completely broken again. Then she wasn't answering the phone. Then I had a moment of panic. But anyway, all's good, all's well. I don't think she felt it either, Duck. So, yeah.
Was a paid event for you? You look pretty sharp.
No, it was the official, actually your station, Channel 7, and my man Basil did a wonderful job there up emceeing it. Gillian McLaughlin spoke, obviously. BT, actually, I can renounce an exclusive here for the Wednesday Rub. Roaming Brian returned at this breakfast
around
today.
Around the room.
Around the room.
And who did,
around
the room. Was,
and
who
did he was in good form.
He got some laughs, did he? Some funnies?
He did get some laughs. He went to the Premier, Mark McGowan, and got a nice line out of him about Eddie Maguire. he didn't get a lot out of Julie Bishop. He tried to, but didn't get a lot out of Julie Bishop. Went to some randoms, which didn't quite work. But no, he was back in form. I caught up with him yesterday with Jim ever so briefly when they came out of quarantine yesterday, and they're up and about, so they're about to hit Perth in a meaningful way.
How many cashies have you done this week? All seriousness, it's a big week. We love it when it is in Melbourne. Yeah. You've now just got a part of this. Tell the honest truth to the loyal listeners of the Midweek Rub.
No, actually, I will be honest here. I've had to knock a few back because work, in a good way, has got in the way. So,
have you been mistaken for Dan Andrews?
There might be something coming up on the Sunday Footy Show Grand Final Edition, Duck, that might allude to what you've just referred to there, but I won't give away any more. But the town itself, guys, as much as I can tell, I'm obviously not a local, but look, as much as a non-Melbourne town can feel like a Grand Final town in Grand Final week, this one does. There's a sense of everyone just being grateful that it's here. There's a great appreciation. There's a genuinely nice feel to the town, and I'm not raising that to rub it into you guys. I'm just reflecting upon what is happening here. They're greatly appreciative of it being here, and I've got no doubt they will put on a magnificent show.
Yeah, it's a huge buzz. Absolutely, Grand Final week. Just going back to when you were both players, Daisy and Duck, can you remember Grand Final week? You know, what were the feelings? How is it different to a normal week? How would these players, the Melbourne and Bulldogs players, be feeling getting ready for the game on Saturday?
I think there's always more nerves. I mean, everyone says try to keep it as normal as possible. But the thing that I remember most is obviously when you're at training and the big crowds. So massive crowds. You obviously sign some autographs afterwards. And the one thing that I'm really sad for the current players and being over is the parade. Because I thought the parade, other than the first year where people were deliberately throwing streamers at my head and trying to injure me, like throwing stuff. So then the next year I worked in 98 and 99, I worked it out. I just put a couple of kids next to me. So then the crowd doesn't throw stuff at you. But the parade was something that really stands out for me in the build-up.
Yeah, it's just a magnificent week. Obviously, when the parade went and we had 30-odd thousand to training, which is hard to believe in this day and age when you can't get a person in the crowd, but this is the week, and especially the energy, the excitement, the nervousness you feel, and I'm sure you as well, Joey, this is what you miss. Now that you're retired, you're never going to get it again. This is the feeling, and I can't wait to watch on Saturday night when the blokes are walking up the race. That's the one that you just can't ever explain to someone, that feeling. You're not sure, you know, if you're going to cry, if you're going to laugh, you feel 10 foot tall, you feel bulletproof. It's just such great emotion. And when you turn the corner and you walk out and you hear, you can almost feel the noise hit you in the face. It's just an unbelievable moment.
Yeah, the two goosebumps I remember getting running out and then going down to in front of the cheer squad for the first time, and they all roar. And then the national anthem standing there. You know when the national anthem's about to finish, you know there's going to be that roar, and you actually do feel the hair stand up on the back of your neck and you'd get the goosebumps.
I'm getting it now, listening to your talk.
You do. Yeah. I'm feeling it as well. It's almost like we've gone back there and you go, wow, this is pretty cool that we are actually doing this on the MCG.
And it's different levels, isn't it? So when you're doing the warm-up, there's a certain anxiety. Then, as you said, going up the race and the national anthem, going across toss. They're all different little feelings that you have along the way. Yeah, like you said, a feeling that we'll never have ever again.
Yeah, and on the flip side, grand final day, Daisy, there's always a hard luck story or some bad luck stories in it, players that miss out, players that are injured. We've spoken a lot about Nathan Jones, but your hero of the round or the hero of the week, you want to take a bit of a different tack.
Your hero, baby.
Daisy's hero of the round.
Oh, boy.
That was Duck.
It wasn't
a good voice.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, the hero is, of course, as you said, hard luck story, Josh Bruce, the man who played 21 games for the Western Bulldogs, went down late in the season with his knee, the only member of that team not to be over in Perth at the minute, being a part of what is going to be a serious tilt at that grand final and the premiership again. But instead of just sitting around at home doing nothing, feeling sorry for himself, I saw that he's gone into the Western Bulldogs, into the club, and he's helping the membership and merchandise team package up and send out merch and whatnot to the supporters who've obviously buying it as soon as it's on the shelves and getting it out in time. So he's been fantastic. He's not worrying about himself. He's doing stuff for the club still. So to Josh Bruce, we say well done to you and good luck. Even though you won't be a part of it, you've been a big part of getting the side to the day.
It does bring up just quickly, I know it's been a big topic over the last couple of weeks. Should everyone that's played a game get a medal? You're not going to be considered a premiership player, Joey. And I haven't heard your opinions on it. I think they should. I think you get a medal. Some players would see themselves, Joey. Everyone would take it differently. Players would throw it in the corner of the cupboard and say, no, I never played, so I disregard it. Other players that played four or five games might go, you know what? Yeah, I contributed. I helped. And they really hang on to that. So different feelings all around. Yeah. But I think they should at least get one.
I think it's a shift in mentality as an industry, because I think now when you hear teams win it and clubs win it, they speak about it takes a whole club. It takes the players that aren't getting a game to train at a high standard to make to push the players that are playing, guys that contribute throughout the year. I think it's got to be a change in mindset in the industry. But I agree with you. I think more and more we're becoming understanding it takes a full club to win a premiership, not just the 22 players. So I think maybe they do deserve the medal.
I disagree totally. Now, I'm coming at it from a different perspective, obviously. I feel if you want to acknowledge the people on your list, Duck, and Joey and Daze, that the club can do that. There's other ways to acknowledge the role that each person's played. I'm old school, obviously. I just feel the people that get to run out are the ones that get it. And there's going to be a 23rd player this year who will have that question mark, if he doesn't get a run as a medical sub. But officially, he's a player in that team on that day. So I think there's 23 medals this year. And I get the sentiment. Don't get me wrong. But life's not fair for so many people. And I just don't think you need to be throwing out official medallions to people that ultimately aren't there on the day. I know that's harsh. I'm old school, but that's where I'm at.
Daisy, how ironic. A guy that probably got participation trophies his whole life. and he's been the hard nose one.
Very good, Duck. Good way to finish the first seggy, because after this, we will get into some big footy news. We'll have a look at the grand final, the Carlton coaching situation, and much more. Stay with us. Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Have you guys ever captain? Oh, no, but I did. Anyway.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, the grand final edition exclusive to the Listener app. And Damo, some footy news.
Yeah, it's grand final team selection, I think, Joey. Look, as far as I can tell right now, as the teams are literally training on Optus Stadium in private sessions, they've got open sessions on the Friday itself. I think it seems pretty obvious. Alex Keith, to me, comes back in. What that means for Zane Cordy or Ryan Gardner, obviously it's a selection issue. I'll get you guys to answer that in a moment. And when it comes to the Melbourne situation, there's enough people telling me that Spargo, who rolled the ankle quite dramatically at a training session on Saturday night, will be right to go as well. So I like the fact that they've got to the line without any major changes required. Obviously, you mentioned Josh Bruce before, Days, as a key out, and obviously Tomlinson also from Melbourne is one of those who's out. But yeah, when it comes to that, who will it be, guys? Do you feel that will have to make way for Keith coming back in?
Will it be Gardner or Cordy?
Waitman,
it seems
as well.
Be obvious. Waitman will come in probably for Anthony Scott, you would think, who was the 23rd man in the prelim. So that might be a logical one.
There's been talk around Johan. I think he holds his spot after what he did in the last final. Obviously, Keith, they're the two that come in. And Melbourne go in unchanged for me.
Yep.
I don't think they make any changes. I don't think they can take a risk. They already will take a slight risk on May. Whether you like it or not, there is a slight risk with May.
I don't think Joel Smith will come in for Hibbard?
No,
Duck?
I don't think, because no. I don't no. think they can
you
risk
like Hibbard?
Two.
You're a Hibbard man.
I love Hibbard. Mate, if you want to go to battle, you're taking Hibbard with you. So a grand final, and you know how I feel about Hibbo.
Yep.
So definitely go in with him. So I don't think they'll take a risk with Smith. So unfortunately for him, he just got injured at the wrong time.
Does Keith play for Gardner or Zane Cordy? Do you ever feel either
way? I think it's Cordy.
I feel Cordy too. Yeah. I think it feels like Bevo has less faith in Cordy. Gardner, I think he likes.
He's,
yeah.
a, bit injured, he's a solid citizen.
And he was injured for a lot of the year. And I think Gardner's probably a good matchup for Ben Brown, you would think.
To Duck's point, I don't think you can put Smith in either. If May goes down, which there is a possibility at some stage, and then you've got another bloke with dodgy hamstrings in the highest pressure game
it's
of the year. Two blokes down, that's almost your grand final loss before you start.
But this is the one little advantage for the first year having a 23rd man is you probably can afford, and we've spoken all week on Triple M about having taking in players into grand finals that with injuries, this is probably a year you can take a slight risk knowing you've basically got a backup on the bench if a player does break down, Damo.
Yeah, it's a good point, and that's why I think JJ might still be that 23rd man, because I think he can cover a few holes. We've seen him sort of play mostly as a specialist for this year, which is different to the role he played in when he won a Norm Smith medal, and I reckon he can cover some of those holes if a player goes down. And they've also got the option too. I mean, I'd be staggered if it's a close game that both medical subs aren't used before an injury, and I don't have an issue with that when you get to the big game. And, there's no next week, obviously, so there's no ruling that player who comes off out anymore.
Yeah. Damo, what about the Carlton coaching situation? We're hearing a lot about Michael Voss. We know Clarko announced that he was officially out on Monday night. Where do you think that's at?
Well, what I can tell you, guys, is, again, as we speak, I do believe that Michael Voss will find his way to Melbourne today, depending on whatever flight time he's got. So that's the information I've got in that regard. What it means for Michael Voss personally, obviously, it's another layer of the process that the club is putting him through. I wouldn't have thought, be able to make a decision to make him coach without having a face-to-face chat. Now, obviously, for someone coming into Melbourne from Adelaide, there's requirements which relate to COVID in returning to your state. So the act itself of coming to Melbourne at this time is a significant one. So it means, factually, it's pointy-ended for Michael Voss. So I don't feel it's absolutely over the line, but the way I've now been reading this, as others have too, it must be said, Joey, for about 48 hours now at least, he is the front runner. He's still got to get through that last stage of it to be ticked off.
Not sure you're coming in and having to go and isolate for a couple of weeks if you haven't got the job.
On the way back, it's a big... So the Blues are still holding out hope. Is this how you read it, that they may be a sniff to get Clarke?
Oh. What?
Until
this is, well, this is the,
until
this,
that
well, this
point,
is my understanding. The fact is that...
Hang on.
He was categoric the other night.
They be more categoric.
They still think the Blues, and correct me if I'm wrong, Damo, that he is a sniff.
I'm subscribing to that view for what it's worth too, Daisy, that what he has said publicly, which has now been said publicly twice, seems emphatic, but I still go back to what he said at Hawthorn and then 2 days later wanted to leave the club. Hey, Joe, he's got form in this space, mate. You can't take... I don't take him at his word.
His plans
I do
have
not
changed,
take
too,
him at his word. He referenced personal tragedy as a way to illustrate to the public, I'm here to stay at Hawthorn through good and bad, and then referenced personal tragedy as part of that narrative. Oh. 2 days later, out, gone, and wanted to get out of the club. So, again, to Daisy's point, the process is being run by Diesel Williams and Brad Lloyd largely. There's other people on the selection panel. The non-procedural part of what the club's doing is still the Luke Sayers and now Brian Cook phone calls that are being made. And I'd be expecting them to just make one more call before they appoint their new coach to Clarko, just to make sure.
Well, Damo, as soon as you've said that, I'm prepared to say now I reckon the grand final's going to be in Perth.
And maybe that's a bit of the issue with the Carlton board. If they still do think they can get Clarko, maybe that's a little bit of the fantasy there they've got going on with where they're at. Last one, Dame, a bit of trade news. Any of the latest going on there? Plenty happening.
Yeah, just to sort of a bit of a bolt from the blue last night when it came out that Sam Petrescu-Seaton is seeking a return to WA and West Coast, most likely specifically. So you've got that to play. It's just a continuation of the conversations we've been having on the Wednesday Rub, haven't we, about the COVID effect on players' mindsets and desires to change clubs. It's already been a theme. Jordan Dawson's one who will be leaving his club, the Sydney Swans, to go to the Crows. We've seen it happen with Adam Chiarra wanting to get out of WA to get back to Melbourne, most likely Carlton. And it was also the origins of the Lachie Neale thoughts to get out of Brisbane with his partner to have her origins in Perth be adhered to there. So Jeremy Finlayson's another one, a lesser name, but again, another player making decisions or at least mooting possibilities around getting back to home state. So that's going to be a theme in coming weeks when the trade period kicks in officially.
And I'm sure we'll see some more names that'll want to return home in the coming weeks. Hey, thanks for that, Damo. We're going to keep going because we've got the Duck Dive Quick Five coming up, and then after that, we'll take a deep dive into the grand final.
This is the Midweek Rub.
A little bit of a Tony Deliberatore there, Baz.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is the grand final edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, and it's now time for this.
On the Midweek Rub, it's time for Duck Dive.
I'm good from the waist down.
Quick Five.
We'll just look at the grand final, and we'll focus on a few areas, Duck, and we'll start with the one game in 28 days for Melbourne. How big of a factor do you think this will play, in hindsight, in the grand final?
Well, in hindsight, hopefully none. I just hope they're as sharp as what they were a couple of weeks ago.
Do you think they will be, though?
Well, I'm hoping and I think they will be, but it is a big question mark. We've never seen a bye before a grand final before, so it's a new territory.
All we can go off are the stats from the teams that when we had the pre-finals bye that then won the first week and had a second bye. It was actually less than a 50-50% win ratio in prelims compared to previously where if you had the one bye, it was like an 80% winning ratio.
The start is going to be crucial. We know that the start. We saw how quickly the Bulldogs. So, you know, Port Adelaide, a little bit sluggish, had the week off. Bulldogs hardened. And the whole preparation, Joey, let's not forget, because of the Bulldogs and what they had to do and travel all around the country and play week. So they've had their whole build-up, this last 2 weeks, has been more about recovery. Melbourne's has been about keeping sharp. Yep. So they would have done tougher sessions. Their session today would arguably be tougher than what the Bulldogs have done this week. So very different build-ups, all about being sharp in the mind, but also just being hungry from that first bounce. It's a question mark. Yep. So it is the great unknown.
Do we all agree that the Bulldogs would have rather that week off leading into the grand final rather than the D's?
Yes, suits the Dogs. Absolutely, it suits the Bulldogs more. Whether it's going to be enough for them to beat Melbourne,
that's right.
That's going to be the question. What about the other factor then? And this also maybe suits the Bulldogs, but I want your take. They've got 11 players that have played in a grand final before. Melbourne, just the one. Mm. What factor does grand final experience have going into a grand final?
I don't think a lot. I don't think a lot in this game. I don't think they get an advantage out of that. I know Bevo said maybe they might. Not for me.
Do you think Daisy playing in a grand final in 2011 made any difference after playing in 2010?
No, not really.
Yeah. I'm a bit the same as you guys. Yeah.
Circumstances completely different as well. It's in Perth, no parade. So there's a lot of different things going into this one than what those players had.
It's a much more normal week. Yeah. In terms of preparation.
I think that's the difference. You handle the build-up better, but I don't think it actually affects you once you get out on the football field.
The experience is the build-up and what you can give to other people in that.
Question three, Duck, you know that the centre-half forwards as well as anyone in the game, you keep a close eye on them. What do you need to see from Aaron Norton for them to win the game, the Bulldogs? There's people saying he has to kick four or five goals. Do you believe he needs to kick a bag? Or what do you want to see from him for the Dogs?
I believe he's got to kick goals. He probably has to kick three, I reckon, for the Bulldogs to win.
Yep.
And we saw the Bulldogs get so many. I mean, Smith kicked four. Smith ain't going to kick four in the grand final.
Bailey Smith, of course. Yeah.
Norton, for me, if he can kick two or three, and one thing we know, his attack on the footy is as good as anyone's in the game. He won't be outmarked. if there's a pack, he's going to crash it. He's going to do all of that. That's what. That's the bare minimum. We know that he's going to bring that. If he can clunk a few and go back and slot a few, then that is ultra important. Just like at the other end, I reckon Tom McDonald. Now Ben Brown's the full forward. McDonald's really important, I reckon. That not to be outmarked. He has to really, really compete. Use that endurance that he's got at the other end for Melbourne.
Yeah. We spoke about, and Damo's touching at the build-up in Perth and how great it is in the venue. In all honesty, do you think we should consider moving the grand final around? Maybe not every year, maybe once a week. Do you think we should look at doing
that? Yes, I do. Yeah, I really do. We're a national game. I really enjoyed the fact that it was in Brisbane, obviously under different circumstances, not under COVID circumstances. But unfortunately for us, Joey, we've probably only got four stadiums. Sydney's a big enough stadium you could play a grand final at. So we've got four stadiums big enough, I reckon, that can hold a grand final, and that's Adelaide, Perth, Sydney, and here in Melbourne. So, you know, yeah, I'm not against moving
the Gabba
around.
Will have, Queensland will have a beautiful brand new facility.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Once that's bigger capacity, Brisbane as well.
Yeah, I agree with this one, Joey. I feel it should be done every... Let's go with 5 years, maybe even six. So it's not that dramatic. You give the clubs that obviously represent the state in question enough time to basically build their list to peak at that time if they want to. I mean, there's enough build-up for that. You've also got the fairness component as well. And, yeah, look, Adelaide Oval deserves one. Perth Stadium clearly deserve one. The Brisbane thing is interesting, given the Olympic Games in 2032, a grand final before or after that would work, and it would force the Sydney government or the New South Wales government to actually put again a proper stadium of that size again if they knew they'd get a grand final. But as we know, it's a conversation we can have. It's just not going to happen. There's a contract that is not going to be broken now that goes to 2059. 2 years have been added to that deal because of what's happened in the past two grand finals.
Just out of fairness and that factor, is it better than having a week off to go to a best of three grand final series?
No, I don't subscribe to that.
Don't
like it at all, Dave.
I think the best of, what it does do, if you have the best of three or like the NBA best of seven, what you do, you will invariably get the best team to win the grand final. And there's no question about that. But you don't have the upsets. We see year after year the underdog that wins the grand final, and that's our system. And
that's the beauty of it.
You can be the underdog and win it. Whereas under that system, I don't think you can be.
Yeah.
And I worry about, too, the type of grand final we had in 2019, GWS and Richmond. I mean, imagine having a second game of that, given how banged up GWS was going into the first one.
I'm just thinking of 3 weeks of cashies.
Yeah, that's all you were thinking about, Daisy. Hey, we'll take a break because we want to rip into the grand final after this. We're going to get a deep dive, get the boys' analysis, and come up with the winner and the Norm Smith medal. Stay with us. Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
I've studied the form for 81 days, and the answer is we've got no idea.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is the grand final edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive to the listener app. Hope you've enjoyed the show, but we're going to finish with a deep dive into the grand final. Melbourne v the Western Bulldogs. The D's have almost been the best team all year. So were the Western Bulldogs, except for a slump late in the season. Daisy, I'll start with you. What's your analysis on this game? How do you see this one panning out?
Well, I think that it's the D's to lose, no doubt about that. I think they've been the best team all season. Defensively, they've been unbelievable. I think their biggest losing margin is 20 points, which was to the Bulldogs back in round 19. I think if they can start well, as you said, Duck, and if they can keep their nerve, and by keep the nerve, I'm talking about their back three, the one wood they've got, that defensive structure that they bring week in, week out, because it's a different thing to do it home and away season. Leave your man come across third up with no consequence. If it's a tight game, third quarter, you leave a bloke in the goal square to come impact in the pocket. Can you have the intestinal fortitude to go and do that, deliver on the biggest stage? I think the D's have answered every question of everyone who's ever doubted them. And I've probably been the one that's asked the most questions of them. And when they would fault, I think they've just got it right. I think they're enjoying the moment. And I think they'll be too good for a gallant Bulldogs on the day, 3 or 4 goal victory.
I'll tell you what you find yourself doing, Joey, and I assume you guys are the same, but out walking the dog during the earthquake this morning. And, all of these different things, obviously the job that Shacky did on Alir, does he do that on Lever? Can he do it 2 weeks in a row? All of these question marks, you know,
Does Langdon go to Smith?
Yeah, does Langdon go to Smith? All of these things, and you just throw them all around in your head. And the more I think about it, I think that the Dogs have to get goals out of their midfield, which they got in the prelim. We know that. Smith, obviously, four. Bond hit the scoreboard. So they, you know, they're going to have to do that again. Treloar's going to have to kick a couple. If they don't do that, I don't think they can kick a winning score against Melbourne. So that is the key for the Dogs. In saying that, I think Melbourne obviously clearly have more options, a better balanced across the whole ground. And therefore, and their defence that has stood up all year, if it'd been measly, I think that they can hold the Bulldogs to a low enough score and kick a big enough score to win. So for me, it's a Melbourne victory.
What do you make of it, Joey?
Well, you know what? Maybe the 2 weeks has got to me, having the build-up and time to think about it. Because as you know, I've been on Melbourne since round four. I've loved Melbourne. I think they've
been... Are you stuck firm the whole way through, Joey?
I have, Damo, but I tell you what...
You can't do what you're about to do.
I've just been thinking about... I think the 28 days... I don't know if I'm going to tip the Bulldogs, Damo, but what I'm saying is I'm very, very nervous about this because I'm worried about the one game in 28 days prep.
Yep.
I think about Bevo's coaching ability, not only to motivate, but what he might come up with and throw something different at Melbourne. And history says the best team doesn't necessarily win on grand final day. You just spoke about the upsets. And I've just got this little gut feel, Damo, that maybe Melbourne don't play their best game on Saturday. And they are a team that I think it will be relatively low scoring. I think these two sides are both really strong defensively. They do it differently. Bulldogs through their team defence. Melbourne, obviously, with their back six. More so, I'm just nervous the Western Bulldogs can cause an upset. And everyone's tipping Melbourne. So that's what's making me even more so think an upset can happen. Everyone I've heard has said Melbourne should win. And the more I'm hearing it, the more I'm thinking this is lending itself to another Bulldogs upset.
I'm saying, Joey, not for the fact you're picking the Bulldogs, just that it's you who's potentially picking the Bulldogs. You convinced me early season that Melbourne was real deal. I took it until about round 15, I reckon, to realise that. I think you're on to round 2 or 3. Yep. So that is, I just go back, guys, to look, they've both got deep midfields. They've both got forward lines that function beautifully. There's a question mark on the Bulldogs' defence, but yet it stood up most of the year. I like the ruck, though, situation from Melbourne perspective. Not just the main man in Gorn, but the Jackson dynamic as part of it.
Massive.
It's nearly as crucial as the Gorn dynamic that's been crucial all year. So that's where I think it's going to be the difference, and as such a Melbourne win.
That's a great point. If they smash Martin early and then they have to bring English into the ruck, so that takes away a little bit of that goal-kicking power. So if he starts clunking a few, which he hasn't done for a while, he hasn't been able to catch a cold for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
So if he does clunk a few forward, then obviously that goes a long way. So Martin is huge.
Yep.
I think we get seduced by the ruckman a lot. We've spoken a lot throughout the year, Brody Grundy, and how little impact they have. Max Gorn had an unbelievable game. I don't think that duel as such is probably going to have as much impact as we think.
If he can hit it to their advantage.
If he kicks five goals again, it will have a big impact, but I can't see that happening
again in my life. If Oliver and Petrarca and Viney and these guys can be proactive to his hit, I mean,
but the Dogs have been used to that for years, where they haven't had a proactive ruckman. They've found a way to do it without having a ruck.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I'm very nervous about exactly, you know, the 28 days and all that sort of stuff. So, but I'm sticking with the D's.
Bevo has more options to move some magnets and give goody looks that he wouldn't expect. I think when you think about the D's, you could pretty much envisage how they're going to go in. You know what you're going to get. Bevo has the option to put some things around. We think we all talk about Smith getting tagged. Do you start him in a forward
pocket?
It's been
his mantra too. That's been his mantra from day one. He wanted players that can play multiple positions. That's how you get a game in this team.
And you speak about the intestinal fortitude, Daisy. I just feel sometimes in a grand final, being the underdog, having nothing to lose, take the risk, go for that kick. You know, it's where Melbourne, it's a little bit more. If they start hearing a little bit of it's ours to lose, they might just play a bit more safe, a little bit more conservative than they have throughout the year. And that can be the difference in a grand final. So I just hope for Melbourne's sake, they play with the same aggression and attack the contest and defend the way they have all year. And they should be right. I agree. They are the best team, but we know grand finals, it just throws up something. And Damo, this is just a year, 2021. If it couldn't have been any more ridiculous with what's happened around the world and Victoria and Australia, having an earthquake now in Melbourne today, one of the biggest we've had, it just lends to myself to think there's one more curveball getting thrown in the AFL season. So
don't.
It could even be a draw. It could be a draw.
Well, it can't be a draw.
It can't be a draw.
No, if you play extra time, that's what I mean. Gets the point. So, as we finish up, Damo, we'll start with you. Your tip, your margin, and your Norm Smith medalist, please.
Going to go to Demons by 11. And I just feel that Big Maxi Gorn is on just a compelling roll of form that will ultimately have him a Melbourne Football Club legend, potentially as soon as Saturday night. Duck. I say Norm Smith.
Yeah, I'm going to say Melbourne, 15 points. And I'm going to go with Lever as the Norm Smith medalist.
Wow.
Daisy Thomas is
the Oracle. We're not still doing this, are we?
Are we really? He's got Charlie Spargo to win Norm Smith or something.
By the way, can I just clarify? A lot of defenders win Norm Smith. I'm just saying that's why I've gone with Lever.
Yep.
Daisy Thomas is the Oracle.
He hasn't, has he?
I think Melbourne will win. I've said that. 17 points will be the margin, and Christian Salem will win the Norm Smith.
See, another halfback.
Halfback flanker?
Yep.
All right.
On the same wavelength.
I'm going to go Melbourne by 1 point. Melbourne by 1 point.
So you've given us all that crap before.
Everything I've heard all week, no one has given Bulldogs a chance.
Not even you.
I had to give Bulldogs a chance. Yeah. I think they'll go very close.
Joey, we've been talking about this all year. You've been analysing footy like no one I know, and you've been accurate the whole year. You get to the big game and you're second guessing yourself.
I'm second guessing the scenario.
One point is a second guess.
I know how good Melbourne are as a team. I can't have spoken any more, Damo, about how good Melbourne are as a team. But I'm saying on one-off game, grand final day, it doesn't matter how a team's played all year. Something different can get thrown up.
This is what happens, Damo. He's put it through the deep fryer, the deep dryer, the air fryer.
And
he's been in the war room with Kingy for too long. He's thinking about it too much.
My brain's cooked, Damo. It's been a long year. I can't wait till he's finished. I've overthought it. But I think Christian Sayer.
The earthquake's been the final straw for you.
Christian Petrarca, I should say. Like Dustin Martin has done in the previous three grand premierships for Richmond, he will stamp himself as a Melbourne legend. He will win the Norm Smith, and Maxi Gordon will hold that cup up. There we go.
I like it.
You finished strongly.
Did you, Damo?
He started first. Okay. Maxi Gordon and Melbourne. Hey, thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, that's listened to the show all year. We've really enjoyed it. I hope that comes across. We love talking footy. We love talking crap. We love having Daisy. We love having Duck. Damo, we love everything you bring to the show. So thank you to our listeners. Thanks you to Rabs.
Yeah,
thanks, Rabs, for producing and the boys out the back. It's been a wonderful year for Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Of course, that's it for 2021. Of course, stay tuned on Saturday for Triple M Footy's Grand Final coverage, starting with the Rub, Duck, one last time at midday. Then a special 25 moments in 25 years of Triple M Footy. That will be a lot of fun before we head to Perth for the massive grand final between Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs. This has been the Midweek Rub for the year 2021.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.